Hey guys, welcome to the I Am Volleyball podcast. This is Austin Cass.
And I'm Jared Lidke, and welcome back, Austin.
Hey, I'm glad to be back here. You know, our first one went, dropped April 1st.
April Fools!
Oh, and it was a Uno reverse card. It's not an April Fools. Yes, we are doing podcasts.
So we're back.
We're back.
All right.
So second episode, super excited. We're going to be talking about off-the-wall topics again. We're going to be talking about player shout-outs, skills and drills, and then what's new going on at I Am Volleyball.
All right, so if you missed that first one, feel free to catch us on Spotify. Super excited, and thanks for joining us.
Don't forget to send us any topics you would like to hear about at this podcast.
All right.
Let's go.
So the first thing we're going to talk about today is our player shout-outs. Austin, you got one for us?
Yeah, this shout-out comes from our 15 Black coach, Jason Montano. Shout-out to Isabel Hilgard on 15 Black. She's been promoted from a 3-rotation player to a 6-rotation player, lefty, right side, just absolutely crushing it this season. She's been with us for a handful of years now. You know her a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I've done some one-on-ones with her, and she just works her butt off. So impressed with her and so happy for her to see some success on the court. Keep it going, Isabel. We are super proud of you and the 15 Black team. You guys are doing awesome. Keep it up.
Way to rep. I am. Today's off-the-wall topic is going to be all about timeouts. When to use them, how to use them, what's going on with the timeout game and your strategy as a coach. Such little power that you have to control what's going on the court, but you do have 2 timeouts per set. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
The only time I use a timeout is try and get an ice pin, truthfully, Austin.
Oh, man. That's right. Ice pin. That, you'll see our coaches. If other teams see our coaches over-celebrating a missed serve after a timeout, it's because we give out ice pins to our coaches that call timeouts, and it causes a misserve, whether it's on purpose or not, depending on how you use that timeout, right? So what are some strategies that you use for your 2 timeouts?
I just got to say, sometimes I almost feel bad about those celebrations.
That's true. I try to hide it.
But timeouts, I mean, I think it's so important in the game, and it really takes the feel for the game. How's your team doing? Are they siding out consistently? Are they getting through the points? Are they, like, all of a sudden they lose 2 points and then they side out and then they lose 2 points. And maybe it's not really in need of a side out, a timeout, I mean. But, you know, if a team scores 3 or 4 points in a row, I think you might want to think about getting that timeout just to reset. You know, it's not always about what you need, but it's sometimes about what the team needs.
So true. I like when I'm thinking about using timeouts, it's mostly on body language. What am I seeing on the court? Are the kids kind of still talking to each other in between points? And it's like, oh, they kind of got this. Like, maybe I don't have to burn this timeout. Or do you kind of see it slipping away through body language, lack of communication? They're a little bit more quiet in between those points. Then you can call timeout, hopefully reset it, give them something else to focus on, and then get back out there and start fresh again. That's a big one for me. I burn my timeout so early. I don't see a lot of coaches do that. Unfortunately, I have seen those situations where I have to burn them early, 5-0, 4-0. I'm like, nope, not happening. Timeout. And then I'll burn 2 timeouts within 10 points. But it seems to work with my teams where, you know, just kind of reset and there's always a chance to come back. The last thing I want to do is be too late in my timeout and all of a sudden I talk and I inadvertently put pressure on the wrong situation at the end of a game. So I'd rather do it earlier and then it's momentum going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, get those timeouts in. Try and switch the momentum a little bit. One thing I try to remind my team, especially early in the games, people really get emotional early in the games. So try and just reset. And we really stay focused on just those last 5 points of the game. Those are the most important ones, you know. So if you can just keep your team focused on those last 5, I think, you know, what happens early, you know, you can work through that even if you fall down early. I know our team this year, they had a really, we're really good at coming back at the end of games. So if I can just get them to settle down early, I think we have the confidence to score those last 5 points in the game. You know, and that's really, really important to obviously success in the court.
True.
But their confidence, right? And that's what you're really trying to build. So what are your thoughts on those coaches that take timeouts like when it's 15 to 24?
Right. Those are the ones like, there's been times where I've had only used 1 timeout because I only thought 1 timeout was appropriate for my team. And then it's still like that, you know, we're getting our butts kicked maybe, and it's 24-15, and I still got a timeout. But there's really nothing else I could add to what was happening on the court to benefit our team. So I don't call a timeout, no way. But I have been on the other end of it where coaches called a timeout, and it's we have 24, and they're like 10 down 10 points. It's insane. And all the kids walk off, and everyone's like confused, like, why is – are they calling this timeout? I have no idea, but I usually just crack jokes in there because I usually don't have much to say besides, you know, just one more point. And we're playing really well because we're up by so much. So usually ends up saying, like, don't let the other team go get momentum, or they're thinking up the best strategy ever right now. So you better be prepared. Yeah. You better. They know something that they're calling a timeout right now. They know something we don't. Be prepared. Be prepared.
What's the coolest way to score this last point?
Yeah.
All right. Let's run a tandem. Let's run an X. Let's run something really cool to try and, like, just kind of make a statement on this last point. That's what you're figuring out.
Yes, exactly. Like, can we run some cross plays? You say this ball's going straight down, whether it's on that side or this side. We're swinging as hard as we can. Like you said, a statement point to finish up that game and hopefully execute on the first one. Super exciting.
Do you have any other strategies with timeouts that you like to use?
I think I've used it when we get into, like, we can't pass well, and I just need that server to slow down one serve. Because when servers get back there, they start getting in a rhythm. It gets a little bit harder. They get a little bit more risky with their serves and start putting the sidelines, short serves, all that stuff. So trying to stop that, reset it, get at least one easy one out of a timeout, hopefully, to get the ball back. And once you get the ball back at this level, you're good. You just got to break it for that. So, yeah, that's one reason why I would call a timeout is just give me a slow serve coming back into it. How about you?
There's one area where I like to do a timeout that's kind of unique is when we're down like 5 or 6 points and we score like one or two in a row, sometimes I like to take that timeout just to kind of say, hey, we're doing all really, really good things here. We're only down a few points. Let's get this and kind of really motivate the team. And the other team gets kind of confused because they're still winning and they're scoring these points. But it kind of gets the team focused, and it's kind of an interesting way to take a timeout. And your girls don't feel bad when you take it, so that's kind of nice. And you can kind of reset and be like, hey, let's go get this thing. We're right in this. I think it's our opportunity right now. Let's go. So that's a kind of a nice way I like to take a timeout sometimes.
Yeah, that's a unique way of using it, and I'm sure the girls appreciate it. Because usually when the coach is calling timeout, it's like, okay, we're about to hear it. You know,
we're doing something wrong.
We're doing something wrong. You know, and to have the positive reinforcement, I love that. What are your thoughts on calling timeouts? Let's say you're up by 5, and the other team is starting to do a run, but you know you're doing pretty good. Do you call a timeout before they get to tie it up, or do you wait till you're down a point, or you're still up 1 point, or like if the run is happening and there's no signs of that ending, is there a certain point where you're like, okay, I'd rather, if you could look back in time, would I call a timeout at one of those junctures, down a point, tied, or up a point, or something different?
So I'll tell you, if I'm in my 20s and that team's making a run, I'm calling that early when I'm up points. Like, I'm going to reset
same.
I'm going to reset that, get that done. If it's earlier in the game, I may wait till we're tied. But if it's later in the game, I'm going to try and cut that off the pass and get our girls reset and make sure we keep that lead and maintain that lead, especially if we're in our later 20s.
Don't let it get close.
I'm not letting it get close because there's something that's going on there usually. Sometimes they get stressed out and you don't even know it. You think they're doing okay, but just relax them. Get them more, you know, back to the basics.
Back to the basics, focus on what to do. Yeah, I agree 100% on the same way. If we're up towards the end, I'm not letting it get close if I have timeouts. 2 points, burp, nope, timeout. Nope, none of that. Stop that, please. None of that.
Yeah, so I think timeouts are really crucial. You get nothing for not taking them. So if you can give your team an advantage, and that's what it's really all about, by just resetting them. They're not always doing something wrong, but just kind of reset them and make them confident about what they're doing. Remind them they do this every day and kind of give them that
encouragement.
It's really
good. For sure. So, yeah, that's how we would use our timeouts. So let us know how you use your timeouts, if there's something different.
All right, timeout. All right, Coach Austin, now we're going to kick it off with our skill today. What's our skill?
Our skill today is going to be serving.
Serving? Is that important?
It's probably one of the top two most important things of the game, serving and passing. So we're going to talk a little bit about serving. You got a few different options that are very popular when you are watching a game. You got a standing float serve. You got the jump float serve. You got a standing top spin, and then you got a jump top spin.
So, Austin, out of those four types of serves, what's your favorite serve that you like to have a server go back and do?
My favorite serve will probably be the one that's in.
In?
In. That's my favorite serve. Granted, nobody tries to miss a serve, and I try to remind myself of that, and I definitely remind parents of that. It's like no one's trying to miss a serve. Even though we missed like six of them in that set, we weren't trying to do that.
So it's not good for a parent to yell, just keep it in.
Just keep it in. Oh, man. That obviously, that's it. We try to do more at a certain level. Yeah. I think some coaches will have a hand signal when they're calling zones. It kind of looks like the hook'em for Texas. And that just means inside the antennas.
Inside
put
antennas.
This one in. If you're a surfer and you're getting a zone six, you're most likely being told just put
it
in. Well, at least you got a zone that you're going to hit. But yeah, the most effective serves, I think a standing float serve is an underrated style of serve. I think if you can create a serve that has zero spin on it, that's going to be super effective. That ball can move. If you're doing a jump top spin, I'm sorry, jump float spin, oh my gosh, jump float serve, and it has some spin on it, then it's not as effective. So if you're just standing and there's no spin on it, you're going to have a really good serve. Mm-hmm. And you're standing. So I don't know, most girls don't think that's the cool serve.
I know. Well, what I've seen is a lot of people with a standing float serve, they can kind of serve it to any part of the court, which is really, really important. If you can just pick apart a team by serving a particular person or a particular part of the court that causes confusion on the other side, that's such an important part. I know, like, if you have a good assistant coach, I know Coach Ryden does a great job calling zones. If they can call zones, get the team out of system right away, out of the bat, that usually is super successful. A lot of people with standing floats, they probably are the most accurate servers.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Yeah. So when you start picking up at players trying to and Ryden's picking the zone five every single time, having those standing floats that can keep hitting the zone consistently is a coach's dream. It's like playing a video game right here, like five, 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 and then maybe you go one, and then they can just easily switch it over. When you start getting into the more aggressive serves, like those jump top spins and floats, then there's a little bit more risk to hitting your zone. So if you can find that happy medium and be consistent in a certain zone, coach is going to be very happy, and you'll probably see yourself serving a lot more, even if you're not getting aces.
So one of my big things is, like, you get that really good server back there, and they're hitting zone five, and then they have this awesome float to the ball that just drops, and then all of a sudden they start hitting it with a little too much tempo, and it stops floating.
Yeah,
it, like, all of a sudden it just keeps going.
Yeah.
And it loses the float, and it's easier to pass, and it's like, there's a middle tempo that you got to hit to get that ball so it floats, and then last second it'll just drop.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best serve when it drops in front of you. Even passing myself, you just give credit to the server, like, that's a good serve.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to find that. But, yeah, I've seen servers that will serve that zone, and then they'll get more excited, and then until it goes out of bounds. And they go, oh, you just left them off the hook. I can't believe it. Those types of servers there is like, they're jump floating. Oh, gosh. Okay, they touched that one. You got away with that that serve. Dial it back.
You give them a short zone?
Yeah, you're like, please dial it back. And sometimes it just goes further out. You're like, oh, man, we had them. Especially if you're trying to make a big run or trying to close out a game. You don't want to give any easy points to the other team. Are you big on serving deep on people, or are you more of a short serve, or are you more of just like put it on them and and see if we can make them pass on a system or something like that?
I'll tell you, if I can get a server that can serve deep and short,
oh,
that's the game, man.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? Because if you can serve somebody deep and then serve them short, that gets them really flustered. Anybody. So I like both. If you gave me my one to choose, I'd take a short serve, man.
Yeah, short serve. You actually don't see it.
People out of system.
You don't see it all the time. And I think, especially when you're playing some of those elite teams, like they all got rockets for serves. So what do they do in practice? They practice against rockets. So that's the fact of it. And then you come in with the soft serve ice cream, and it's awesome. And you score a few points. Best. You're getting some overpasses. You're getting some free balls. Their timing's off. It might be the trick to get you, you know, the edge on some of those tougher teams.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen teams that aren't as big and tall and strong beat some other teams because of that short serve. So I think that's a huge benefit.
Don't you open up your matches with a short serve? Is that your team?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, it's not just short. It's the four zone, so it's the short corner.
Oh,
and
the one percenter.
That server can nail it, so it's super impressive.
When I play with Jared in tournaments, he goes back there, so he gets as close as he can to the line. He's a standing float server, and he would get his toe as close to that line as possible, and then he would aim for either the back line or just a little bit over the net. And I'd always turn to him. It's like, that's the 1%. The 1% that's going to work. And he actually hits it quite a few times, so he's going to keep doing it. But I always turn around and say, the 1%er, the 1%er, it worked.
Yeah, I tried that the other day, and I didn't think it made the net. So, yeah. My bad.
No risk, no reward. You know, you gotta risk it.
I was trying to make it, though.
That's true. That's very important for not trying to miss.
What are your thoughts on standing topspin or jump topspin serve?
The jump topspin, we actually did a little bit with that this year. I had a server that I thought could do more with their serve. It was a little too safe, so we tried something new and did a top spin. We worked it in a game, and when it goes in, because players don't see it very often,
right,
that you get that initial shock factor. So if you can get that jump top spin in, even at the juniors level, it's going to work just for the mind game of it. But also it gives them something different. So most of your servers are doing float serves. You do a jump top spin, you show them something different. I think it builds confidence in players, like an outside hitter, for instance,
especially, yeah,
will just reinforce some of the stuff you're teaching with footwork, rhythm, timing. You don't toss the ball high, low. You can go fast, short. You're adjusting and still putting it in. So as a pin hitter, you're just reinforcing the skills front row and back row versus having two different styles of hitting the ball.
Yeah, one of my philosophies is I've never seen somebody with a good jump topspin serve that wasn't an awesome hitter.
So true. Right? So true.
I mean, those people are just really good. So if you can develop that jump topspin serve, you're going to be a good hitter. So even if you're not going to use it in a game, always work on it because it's a great tool and it's going to make you better at hitting the ball.
I think it's fun for all the kids to try, like in practice. Like, hey, we're going to learn, you know, the standing float, the jump float, the L route float. You can do all these other different ones, right. Two-handed toss, one-handed toss. Now we're going to do a standing top spin. You know, aim for the back wall. It's spinning. It's dropping.
Right.
And then, you know, the jump top spin and just letting them wail on it and a lot of laughs. And then all of a sudden you'll see someone that kind of gets it and you're like, maybe let's try this.
Because, I mean, as a coach, I want a team that has the variety of serves, right? I want somebody that can do everything because one team's going to be really good at passing a float serve or one team's going to be really good at passing that top spin.
They all look
serve.
The same. They're just getting reps at that
point.
Right,
right. So then when you mix it up and you give them a little bit of each, there's going to be a weakness. There's going to be something in there that they're not good at. And so then that's where you can get your points. So if you can side out consistently and then bring a different type of serve, bonus.
You might get a bonus point there. Right? You know, when you go back to serve, having the mindset of, I need to get 1 point from my serve.
Right.
So if we get, you know, we go back, we side out, we scored a point. I go serve, I score a point, and they side out. We got 2 points to their 1 point. Mm-hmm. We side out again, we got a point. I serve, I get 1 point. And then next thing you know, you're up, you know, double digits in that set. And some of the strategies that I've gone through in the past with serving some of my teams is the mindset of it. Like we talked about how kids just keep hitting the serve a little bit harder, harder, harder until they miss.
Yeah.
Or risk, like, I'm going to give you a five zone. You're going to get closer to the sideline until you miss. And that's not really what we're looking for. So that first serve, obviously, is crucial. You don't go back there and miss your first serve. So you should have your serve that's aggressive but in most of the time. And then your second serve is a bonus one because you just got the point. You already did what you want to do. So go ahead and give them another one, a little bit more aggressive. And so you up it just a tiny bit. And it's like, okay, if you score that point or win that point, then you're going to go back down to that first serve because everything's a bonus at a point. And the last thing you want to do is give them a lifeline.
Let them off the hook.
Don't let them off the hook. Yeah. So I talked about that a couple of times with each of my teams the last couple of years, is, you know, now we just go on a run and let them kind of self-destruct if they're in that type of mindset on the other team. The last thing you want to do is just let them out and say, hey, you know, it's okay. Here's the ball back. Yeah. We'll try now. Like, you don't want to be nice in that.
You know, there's a really good drill. I got it from the Art of Coaching Volleyball. It was actually on the Volley Pod. And you do a drill where you're playing against each other, right? And every serve they make, the point doubles. So if they make a, if they serve and they score that point, it's one. And the next one would be two. The next one would be four. But if they miss their serve, they get zero, right? So that focuses on that, on that big point. Like, don't let them off the hook by giving them zero.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're scoring all those points. Don't let them off the hook. You know, keep the pressure on that other team. They're scared.
And if they earn it, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're not punished by earning that point. I had another service game that I tried out last year. And how it worked was, it was just basically just serving. You score points off getting them out of system. So if the setter left the 10-foot line or had a bump set, it's considered a point, whether they win it or not. So you just are trying to get the serve back. So you're trying to score. But if I serve, get you out of system, I get a point. If I get an ace, I get 3 points. But if I miss my serve, it's minus -5. So it's so crucial that you can't miss that serve, that once you are just putting pressure on getting them out of system, because that's just as good. You should be able to play defense against a team that's constantly out of system, right? A little bit easier versus in system. So we just play it. Now you can play 15s versus 17s because the kills don't matter. It's the serving and passing game. Nope. So you're scoring your points by putting pressure on them. But it's also really important that, like, okay, I'm up. We play to 11, and you're up 10 to 5, and you just got to let it ride. Like, it's going to happen. The out of system, the ace is going to happen. Now you just got to stay consistent. And it really taught our team, which averaged like 4 or 5 missed serves a set, but we were really good at everything else, that it bailed us out, so it wasn't really a big focus for the individuals. And then we started doing this drill, and it just kind of clicked of, like, that big missed serve at the end of the game point. Like, you're getting that feeling in practice now, not just in game, replicating pressure serving.
So you stop bailing that other team out.
Stop it. Stop doing it. But like we said, the most important serve is which one?
In.
We're going to be talking about what's new for IM Volleyball and new in the club world. And today we're going to be talking about tryouts.
Oh, tryouts. Yeah, that's
sensitive.
A very sensitive subject. And for those of you that don't know, tryouts for a lot of club teams, there's an option to do tryouts in July.
Yep.
I believe most teams are probably going to move to that July timeframe. In the past, tryouts have always been in the October or November for the younger group, and then November for the high school group after high school season. But for certain reasons, they've decided to switch it to July. That's like a lot of our neighboring states have tryouts in July. So because of that, we also are making that change here. There could be an additional tryout in the November timeframe if that's interest for us. But our goal would be to probably do all our tryouts in July and fill our teams. And it'll help out on the scheduling of tournaments and the getting of uniforms and all that stuff. That'll help.
Yeah, a lot of the admin stuff on our side, we'll be able to get a jump on it, because before, in November, tryouts would hit. We do a parent meeting right away. We got to fill our teams. Once those are done, then it's jersey tryouts. Get the order in and get your jerseys like a week, or if not a day before your tournament. And unfortunately this year, a week after our first tournament. So that's definitely going to be very helpful when all our teams are selected in July. We have a handful of months before our tournament start to be able to get people rostered, make sure, like, maybe payments being broken up into more than two, maybe three or four different payments. And just a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, it's going to benefit and not be as stressful for that. But it does come with some stressful things added to it, especially change is hard for a lot of us and coming into. So all our tryouts being all at once is going to be pretty crazy. Instead of being October, then November, a little breather, it's just going to be back-to-back weekends for us.
Yeah, so back-to-back weekends. For those of you that don't know, we're going to do our younger kids in the weekend, I believe, of the 20th.
Yeah,
the
20th,
And then the older kids the weekend
27th. 7 days, yeah, that works. 7 days. 1, 2, 3, yep, so, 7 days.
So,
and then the deadline to accept is in August, I think, or the
August 1st.
August 1st. We're also including boys tryouts. That's going to be 14 under, same thing on that 20th, 21st. We haven't decided those times yet, but those are coming out soon.
Yeah. So it's a super exciting time. You know, unfortunately, it's going to cut into some people's vacations.
And already getting those emails. Things,
you know, Austin and I like to play volleyball tournaments in the summer, so we're going to miss playing in a few tournaments. But this is something about we're passionate about, so we'll give it up for coaching.
Yeah. You know, we'll make it work for us. At first, I didn't like it, but now, you know, it's happening, and I'm excited for it because it is the 2 weekends. The whole team's going to be selected. That just gives us more opportunities to maybe do some creative stuff in the fall, especially with middle school. You know, more shout outs, maybe do more social media stuff, things that aren't needed to be in the gym. But we have all our teams selected. We can kind of get the ball rolling on things. So there's a benefit to that I'm excited about.
So there are a few benefits to having tryouts then. And I know the difficult part is some of the teams are playing right till the middle of July. So what are some things that you don't like about having the tryouts in July, Austin?
I think one of the hardest parts, especially being club directors, is finding coaches. Coaches that commit to the teams. We usually take care of that 14 and under before October, and then we get some time to finish up finding our coaching staff for the 15 and up. This year, we have to find coaches even earlier. So there might be an instance where we know we'll have a team, but the coach, we might not have a coach yet, but we're confident that we're going to get a coach, a good quality coach. But that kind of makes me nervous about it. I'm not a big fan of that because we're going to be in our season, especially me. I'm at Nationals. I'm going to have about a week and a half off, and then we have tune-ups and tryouts. Yeah. So I'll have to be juggling a lot more things going into the season versus a little bit of a break and then getting into it again.
And I know you and I, we take a lot of pride in our staff and are so proud in them. They work their butts off. So kudos to them. And anybody that's interested in coaching, we'd love to talk to them.
Absolutely.
To help fill that staff. You know, one of the things that's very difficult for me with this new tryout is the fact that kids don't get the opportunity to go through their high school season. So somebody that may make varsity on their team doesn't get that opportunity to play in varsity before their tryout. So if they like make a white team, they don't get the opportunity to go through varsity and then try out and possibly make a black team. So that's a little bit difficult and hard. But I think it's going to give them an opportunity to be a leader on that white team.
Yeah. I mean, having the opportunity to get better in high school, to better yourself for club and vice versa, your club season gets you ready for the high school season. It's been very nice. I guess we took that for granted because now that when things have changed, you're playing through the club season and hopefully everybody's having a good finish to their season because 2 weeks later, you're going to be having tryouts and hopefully everybody's like not burnt out or there was no, you know, high stress fallout towards the end of the season. You know, things like that, that you need some time to kind of like reset, think about, you know, reflect as a coach, reflect as a player. How did you do this season? Did you have a good time? Is this club right for me, you know, or do I want to go try another club? It all happens so fast. So that part is gone where you don't get to kind of reflect or see where your high school coach is coaching. Some kids kind of make their decisions off of that when they get into high school, but you're going to have your tryout right away.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, but so what about tune-ups? Is that those going to happen this season with tryouts?
Yeah, so we managed to put in our tune-ups. We'll have two tune-ups leading into each tryout that week. I think we'll have one on a Tuesday, one on a Thursday, and then tryout Saturday, Sunday. And then we come back the next week, Tuesday, Thursday, tune-ups, tryouts on the weekend. So we still will have our tune-ups in there. We've pushed some camps around to make it all work for us. So our skills camps are going to be in August. So we have some of our younger camps right after high school graduation where our coaches are free. And so we'll be able to still work in some extra clinics so people get those touches that aren't playing at Naturals to freshen up before they get into that stressful time of tryouts.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad we were able to do that. So it's going to be a super exciting time for us. You know, obviously everybody tried to make this work with this new schedule, and hopefully everybody can make it work with vacations, enjoy that time with your family. Hopefully you can make it around the tryouts. If somebody misses a tryout, what do you suggest if they're like, hey, we're out of town, we're missing that tryout?
The best thing you could do is attend a camp or tune-up, so she's at least get in front of that club and you want to contact that club to make sure that they're aware of this certain player, make sure that name, you know, whatever it is that you need to stand out, like, were you on the club last year? They're familiar with you. What can I do here? This year is going to be kind of a learning curve for everybody on what's going to happen, because it could be 25% of the people are on vacation all of a sudden and tryouts just won't be the same, or it could be you're one of five kids that were on vacation and missed tryouts, and it's just like, I don't know what else I could do for you, but you want to follow up when you get back from vacation, follow up with clubs around you. Are there any spots still looking? Some teams will have extra tryouts. I know it's still eligible for tryouts for club in August. The initial deadline is that first day, but you can still have tryouts after that.
Yeah, there may be some tryouts in August, and then just to try and fill any extra spots. And then if I think they got until high school season starts, and then everything's shut down.
Yeah.
And then it'll start back up after the high school season.
Correct.
All right.
So, yeah, if you have any questions about tryouts and the new stuff, you can check out our website. You can look on the Badger Region website. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of information being pushed so that nobody misses that. Hey, I thought tryouts were in October or November. We definitely don't want that. We want to make sure everybody knows tryouts are in July for IM Volleyball.
Yeah, so please spread the word on that. And feel free to check out our website, because on our website we have all of our new camp information, tryout times, tune-up times. Anything that you want, I think, is on there now.
Yeah, should be.
Most of it's open for registration except for the tune-ups and the tryouts.
Yep, those open up in May. So that's going to be right around when this podcast drops. Check it out, sign up, and we'll be excited to see everybody there.
All right, Austin, thank you for your time today, my friend.
Yeah.
AC.
What's up? Here we go. Great job. And thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next one. Once again, if you have any comments, feel free to drop them in the comment section. Like and subscribe.